It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to the Midwest Madness Podcast, your home for men's and women's Big 12 hoops. I'm Christine Butterfield, and before we get into today's, just wanted to remind everyone that Home Field Apparel is having special deals for March Madness because obviously it's the best time of the year. So you guys can get combo boxes, mystery boxes, three t-shirts for $45. That's such a huge discounted rate. You're not going to want to miss out on the best college apparel, especially in this time of year. You want to make sure that you're supporting your guys, supporting your girls, supporting your teams right. And if you want to do it right, it's with Home Field Apparel. Just be sure to use Midwest 12 at checkout. So without further ado, today we are breaking down the women's side of the bracket. If you missed my breakdown with Blake Lavelle on the men's side of the bracket, you can go ahead and listen to that episode because this episode is dedicated to the awesome women that are going into this tournament. And I have a very, very special guest joining me. So let's go ahead and get into it. And joining me right now is Caroline Darney, the managing editor for The Win. Caroline, what's up? How are you doing? Are you excited about this bracket? Is there anything that surprised you whenever the seedings came out?
Oh man, I'm super, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. I think this tournament is shaping up to be super fun. I think there's a lot of really, really great storylines. I'm always a big, you know, I have someone who writes about sports. Like, I love a good storyline. Some of them, like, you know, some fans might not like those storylines. Like, maybe, I don't know, if you're NC State and you're in the Bridgeport region with number two seed UConn, maybe you don't like those storylines, but I love those storylines. So I think that was probably a few of the things that surprised me. Probably Louisville sneaking in as the final number one seed. I think that that was the one that was questionable. You know, I thought Baylor had a really good shot at that. Louisville really struggled down the stretch in the ACC tournament. So kind of like, it's just never good when you go into the selection Sunday and the last thing that the committee or fans saw from you is like this, like, really bad meltdown to Miami in the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, maybe that's why, maybe I'm reading into it too much, because they are a well-coached team. They've done really well. Like, they've been in the top five, like, this whole thing. So maybe I'm just overreacting to it. But it was kind of a surprise there. I think poor NC State. I just think that's just a brutal, like, congratulations, you're the one seed. Here's UConn in UConn. Like, you know, I think they're an hour from their you know, especially, and I don't think that NC State should have been, you know, above South Carolina in any means. Like, that's my overall pick. Like, Dawn Staley's my girl. Like, I think that's, like, she's the coolest. I think that they, but seeing a South Carolina team in Greensboro, which is, you know, a couple hours from you, and then you actually basically get a de facto road game, like, that's kind of brutal as a one seed.
Yeah, that's tough. I personally am in the camp of, I feel bad for whoever has Iowa. So
yeah,
because that's the number two seed that I'm like, I don't want any part of that Iowa team if I'm anybody else, because when Clarkson can just go up from the logo with pressure and make a, like, shot, it is insane. And there's nothing you can do to stop that. So, like, she's just that clutch. And so that's just the team for me where I'm like, yo, I would never want to be in the Greensboro bracket.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because the other part, though, again, I looked at it kind of like, I looked at it as like, oh man, we could get Iowa and South Carolina. And I got so excited about it.
Yeah.
But actually, if you're looking for, you know, like I am, like, I want South Carolina to go to the Final Four and win the title again. And so I'm kind of like, oh, I'm torn, because I know that that's going to be, I don't know. You could almost put Baylor in there as the toughest too, but either one of those, I think just the way that Caitlin Clark is playing, like, those highlight reels of just like, hey, I'm going to shoot it from here. I wonder, like, you know, it's kind of, this is what, you know, coaches always do. They get paid a lot more than we do, and they're way smarter than we are, that we'll say, like, we're like, oh, you only do slow her down and that's all you got to do. But it's obviously way easier said than done. So right. I'm really, really excited to see what kind of plan Dawn Staley and her staff come up with to try and, you know, and on the flip side, like what Iowa's going to do to slow down like Aaliyah Boston. And so like you have two, probably the front runners question mark for player of the year that could mm-hmm. match up. And that's where I'm like crossing my fingers that, you know, and honestly, we talked briefly about like Louisville losing to Miami, South Carolina. I have Miami going on and from that first round. Yeah. A South Carolina Miami game could be a ton of fun. And then you look at that and it could be South Carolina Arizona. So I don't think that, you know, that was an Arizona team that made that run as the three seed last year. And so there could be just a ton of fun. They got a tough region for the number one overall, if we're being honest. Like I kind of look at that and I'm like, dang, like what are we doing here? So I think there's so much to be excited for, so many exciting matchups to be had. And I had a hard time, like there were definitely times I was filling out my bracket where I was like, I really like this team, but I don't think I can pick all one seeds. So I'm going to go with a three, right. You know, like trying to like game the system that way. But sometimes you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. I am a chronic overthinker when it comes to my brackets. I talked about this cause I just did our men's tournament breakdown a few days ago. And I just dive so deep into everyone's opinions and thoughts and analysis on both sides of the bracket where I'm like, well, now I don't even know. Cause like there's, but that again is the beauty of this time of the year. I think you were, I think you were spot on though. I think this Greensboro region is the most difficult bracket to make it through. I mean, we talked about Iowa, obviously like hard to stop them. You have Colorado, who's pretty good. Iowa State, who has shown a lot of grit this season. I think Arizona's been really good as of late. And then you got Miami, who's, I think, a stinky good team. So that South Carolina-Miami matchup could be more exciting than a lot of other people had assumed. But like you were talking about with Baylor and Louisville kind of sliding into that final number one seed, Baylor getting the two. What are your thoughts with Baylor kind of on the bottom part of the Wichita bracket?
Yeah, I actually kind of love their setup right now. I don't know if that's just kind of, you know, I like them against either Colorado or Creighton, obviously, and this is the tournament, so like, you know, it's going to be, oh sorry, I looked at the wrong line. I looked at the wrong line. I was still one above.
Ole Miss and South Dakota.
I'm like, oh, sorry.
You're good.
I had to scroll down. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. You know, like the big thing is like playing a 15 instead of a 16 is not a huge difference, but it is a difference. You know, like there's, you know, especially if you look at like the men's program, I'm a Virginia grad. So like we have the claim to fame, the only 16-1, like I get that. That's our thing. But it's okay because we won the title the next year. So I can bring it up and it's not sad. Everything's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm just kidding. It is. It's one of those, like now that it's like joined together for Virginia fans, you're like, okay, yeah, we can handle that. Because if, you know, if you told almost any fan base, I think any fan base that like you had to lose that game, but you were guaranteed a title the next year, you'd be like, yeah, I'll take it. So that's what we tell ourselves. We're like, it's all part of the bigger journey. But this is all to say, like, there have been multiple 15 twos, not a lot, but, you know, more than one. So I don't think that I don't really see any of the twos as huge ups. You know, look at these. I mean, the twos are so solid.
The twos are stacked. Twos are stacked.
I honestly think that I would probably, you know, and I do, I like this NC State team. I think it would not be out of control if you had like 3-2 seeds in the Final Four.
I wouldn't be shocked by that either. I was looking at this bracket. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was looking at this bracket and I was just looking at, you know, Iowa, Texas, UConn, Baylor. And I'm like, these teams are insane in their own right. And they're number twos. And I think that those teams are all probably going to have the mentality of, oh, you didn't think we're number one seed, bet. And then they just go
exactly.
Off.
Yeah. And I think that works, you know, like you look at where Baylor picked up losses this year, Maryland, not at all. So they have a potential, make sure I'm getting it right this time, there is a potential for a sweet 16 matchup against a Michigan team that they lost to earlier this season. Right. So again, like storylines.
We love narratives.
A 6-point game at Michigan. Like, that's where I absolutely love the way that some of these are setting up. And, you know, their losses were all, you know, either 6 points, a point to Oklahoma. So I really, really like the makeup of this Baylor team. And I think, you know, you look at, other than the loss to Texas, like, which just was at, like, you know, so lopsided. I think they are pretty well set up. I love the idea of a revenge game coming out of the Sweet 16. And I actually do have them facing Tennessee in the Elite Eight, because I like that. I'm just like, I see Tennessee and I'm like, yeah, I just got to go to Tennessee. I don't know why. So I think that Baylor's pretty well set up. They're my pick to get to the Final Four from the Wichita region.
I like Baylor as well, not just because I'm a Big 12 podcast, but I like Baylor because I can't vote against Nikki Collin. I just can't see myself doing it. She has been such an incredible coach just from the jump, and watching the way that she interacts with her players, and she's really gotten into the strategy of college basketball and used the analytics she learned from the NBA and brought them in here. I really think, and also she's been in tournament scenarios before, right? So like she's very used to this type of environment. And I think that this Baylor team can go to the Final Four, possibly win. I also think that Tennessee is probably going to be going to the Elite Eight as well. I don't really know about this Louisville team after coming off of that ACC loss. Like I don't love where they're at right now. And I think this Tennessee team could end up just forcing so many turnovers that you're just like, okay, it's dead. But moving on to the other side, onto Bridgeport, there's Kansas State in there and Oklahoma in there from the Big 12. So, I mean, I don't foresee it happening this way, but there is a possibility where they could meet up in the Sweet 16. But what do you think is going to happen with these two Big 12 teams in that region?
And this is maybe falling victim to reading a few things. Where are the upset possibilities? Where's this? Where's that? The more I read about this Ooey Pooey team, the more that I'm like, that's my pick for random first round upset. And this isn't anything against Oklahoma. This is just the nature of the tournament, where it's like, you know, I felt I had to get an upset pick in there. I know Oklahoma fans listening be like, this is the worst reasoning ever. Who is Oklahoma? Like, what are we doing? It's just one of those, like, again, the overthinking, because I think this Oklahoma team, you know, as we just mentioned, talking about Baylor, like, you know, getting, you know, they have great wins on the season. Like, they, you know, were in the top 25 most of the season. And it's just like, this is a great team. And the more I read about it, the more I'm like, I don't know, I've talked myself into this. But if they it's such a slim possibility that actually happens. So I think that if they move on, I really like the idea of this Oklahoma Notre Dame matchup. I think Notre Dame played a little bit, like, they kind of stood out. They had some issues, some ups and downs over the course of the season, but I think that could be a really, really fun matchup. And I really like, I think the K-State, Washington State, obviously the 8-9s are all kind of going to be like that. I think that's a fun first round game that I'm definitely going to, like, I think will be one of the most exciting. At least I've talked myself into that, which, you know, it is sometimes, I don't know if it's realistic or not, but it's something that, and sometimes I look, there's just, that's one of the ones that stands out to me, and I'm like, ooh, I like that one. That could be fun. And part of me, I did pick Washington State in that game, but also again, team narratives. I love the idea of a Washington State NC State rematch.
Okay.
Because they did play earlier this season, so that was another thing. The NC State fans were not happy with their with their draw. They played K-State too. So honestly, either way, NC State would face a team that they've already played and beaten this year. So they'd probably rather see Washington State, because they dominated that game. But yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me. It would surprise me a little bit if we ended up seeing Oklahoma and K-State face each other. But I don't think it's so fully out of the realm of possibility that it would be like absolutely wild, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're NC State, I think you would rather see Washington State in the 32 than Kansas State, just on how Kansas State has been playing. But I want to dive into this Oklahoma Uipui. Is that how you say it? I don't want to like go through Iupui. Like, is it?
Yeah, like, that's Uipui? Like the nickname that I've always heard. Like, not growing up necessarily, but like, Uipui. Like that's how we've always said it. Oh, I hope it's like what they actually say there, because yes, otherwise that would be an embarrassing. I was just reading something earlier. Like they, you know, fell to Michigan in overtime, but like had these, I'm trying to remember if they their three-point defense is really good. I think they played Iowa. I just need to like double check, like with the, there have been so many different games that I'm like tracking that in my mind
they all were together
completely completely mixed up. But it's just a team that they can limit three-point shooting. Their defense is strong. Mm-hmm. And just
because
that,
I think the argument for that upset would be is like, obviously if you lock down Taylor Robertson, it's gonna be difficult, obviously. And if their defense is that strong, I could see that happening. Although like Taylor Robertson is a lot like Clark from Iowa, where like she can pull up from, not as deep as Clark, obviously, like that's just insane, but she can pull up from a feet or maybe a foot and a half from the 3-point line and still be comfortable from there.
Yeah. They, so this, I did have it right. Okay. So, and this is probably why they're such a popular upset pick in this position, is they beat Iowa at Iowa 74-73 earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they held Iowa to an 18% 3-point shooting, which is just wild. Mm. So if you take that insane out of it, you know, it's just, and so it was one of those, because again, this is mostly like, again, I'll reiterate for the Oklahoma fans, it's not a knock on Oklahoma in any way whatsoever. This is more like, oh, this could be a prime upset situation. So that was like my one wild pick. But I think Oklahoma has so many different ways they could do so. It's just that the defense at Uipui can really lock you down. And if you get frustrated or start to struggle or momentum, or if you like, a lot of times what happens these early games, like 12-5 on the men's side, or even 13-4 is on the men's side, is the quote, like underdog sticks around for so long that it starts to give them more and more hope, which like boulders on itself and then becomes like momentum. So that's just one that I'll be watching pretty closely. It would not surprise me in any way whatsoever if Oklahoma won it by 25 points, but that defense is the only thing that gives me pause in that one.
I understand that. I mean, they've already proved that their defense can have really good perimeter blocking. So if they pull that out against Oklahoma in the same way, I can definitely see that being an upset. And I can't believe that we went through Greensboro and didn't even really touch on Iowa State. So let's just head back over there for a second. I like them going to the Sweet 16. I think they'll make it to the Sweet 16 based on what I'm seeing and kind of what I've derived from Georgia and UT Arlington. But again, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that Iowa State team. I also love the idea of an Iowa State-Iowa rematch, which again, yes, I think was another one that Iowa lost in the regular season. I don't know. Usually the committee does way more to try and like mix these up.
This seems really like narrative based.
Rematch heavy.
Yeah. And you know, like, I don't really necessarily have a problem with that. Obviously, like it's four great storylines, but I'm not used to seeing that in the women's bracket as much as I'm used to seeing that on the men's side, where I'm like, oh, well, these teams played back in December. Like, you know, you have Gonzaga and Texas Tech in the same bracket on that side. So like things could play out there. But like, I don't know if I've ever seen it this rematch heavy.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the other thing that NC State was so mad about, is like, they've already played, no matter who wins that 8-9 game, that's a rematch. And then if you say Notre Dame gets a win over UMass and like plays a tough Oklahoma team, they've obviously played Notre Dame as part of the ACC, and like, it's just, they could have rematches all the way down to the chance that they have to play against UConn in the state of Connecticut. So like, I don't know what you know, it's definitely... Mm-hmm. And you can make either one, right? So if you're talking about Iowa State, like they have a framework to work off of. They have a win. They've got film of it. They've got, you know, they can go back and look at all these things. What did we do last time that worked? And on the flip side, though, you're facing someone that now has direct, you know, like we did this last time and this didn't work, or it was entirely because so-and-so did such and such and they know how to game plan off of that. I had always rather, I just get so superstitious with stuff where it's like, I'd rather, you know, if you're Iowa, 100%, this is like a no dust statement. You'd much rather lose the regular season and win the postseason because that's the one that's way more important. And so it's just kind of like, I don't like the idea of like facing a team again that you already beat. And maybe I'm just like too nervous about stuff, but
no,
some people are like,
I am so in your camp.
Like, you just beat them again. Like, I just feel like if you beat them the first time, it's almost worse if it's the three time play, right? Like if you swept them in the regular season. Like I just, that makes me that if I'm Iowa State, I'm more nervous, I think, than if I'm Iowa, but either way, that game should absolutely slap.
Oh my God. That game might be one of the chippiest games that we see all bracket or like all March. And I'm personally already ready for it. I'm already excited, but I'm right there with you, Caroline. I feel bad for the teams that had already beaten their upcoming opponent in the regular season and they're facing them again when it comes to this tournament, because it almost always goes to the team that lost, because not only are they, you know, playing for what would be the Elite Eight game, but they're playing for a chance at revenge to show everyone, you know, why they're so much better now. And having all of that steam coming into a game like that, where the pressure and it's so momentum based. I always tend to go for the team that lost in the regular season, unless it was obviously just so lopsided that you just, you know, that like, you know, Gonzaga's always going to win it, or you know that UConn's going to, you know, be fine. It's one of those type deals. But I hate to say it, but if Iowa and Iowa State meet up in the Sweet 16, which I personally think they will, I think Iowa's going to be moving forward this time.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. And it's just, I also, I think. I was just gonna say, like, I just think about, like, I black out for a second and think about Caitlin Clark hitting those threes. Then I'm like, yep.
did you see that video that they put out? It was the women's basketball account on Twitter where they had the two head coaches, or like the head coach, the assistant coach. Oh my gosh. Okay. You have to look this up. I can't remember what month this was. It might be a little bit far back at this point, but they started filming the coach, and the assistant coach. And they're like, what are they doing? And they go, oh, they're moving the 3-point line back for Clark. And then they like, it shows these like assistants, like, or, you know, like equipment managers, whatever, like measuring out the basketball court, and it goes to the logo, and they are saying like, okay, further. And then they go to like the other end of the baseline and they say further, and then they go out of the whole basketball arena and they say further, and then it keeps going back until there's like this random spot with a bunch of buildings, and the dude just nods and he goes downtown, and they mark it.
Absolutely love that.
It is incredible. You definitely need to take a look at that if you missed it. The last part of this bracket that we haven't gotten into yet is the Spokane part of the bracket. And like I said before, you got Kansas in there as the number 8 seed going against Georgia Tech. And if they beat Georgia Tech, they will be facing Stanford.
Congratulations.
In the second round.
Spoiler alert, I have Stanford moving on, just so I think, you know, Kansas has had some really, really great moments over the course of the season. Stanford's one of my Final Four picks, so and that, you know, absolutely. Preemptively apologies to Texas fans, but you await the same fate, in my opinion. Although that again will be an absolutely, like, just, I think I do like Texas to make it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And I did go back and forth. Again, this is all just because, like, every single region I was like, okay, do I have too many top seeds?
I go through this every year. And I think we just need to state the importance that these number 2 seeds
are so
close to the number 1 seeds. There's not that big of a drop off between the number 1 seeds and the number 2 seeds this year. So it isn't really that difficult to see how Iowa Texas, UConn, and Baylor would all be getting to the Elite Eight. I mean, obviously we threw out that, you know, Louisville probably won't be there. So there's your lower seed, Tennessee, going to the Elite Eight there. But, you know, you can see South Carolina's trajectory. You can see NC State's and you can see Stanford's pretty well. So, hate to be those people, but.
Well, I mean, that's what, you know, and honestly, I think, you know, some would probably look at that and say that, oh, see, there's no parity in the women's tournament, yada, yada, yada. But I honestly think, like, there's so much talent this year across the top eight, maybe even, like, 10 seeds, if you will, like, the top 10 teams in the tournament, that, like, it's just honestly so difficult to pick some of these. And this isn't, you know, Big 12, but the one kind of, and I think a few people will probably have them just because the way that they finished the SEC tournament. But Kentucky is coming in blazing hot. If Miami wasn't an 8-9 across from South Carolina, I might, you know, pick a couple games further. So there's just been some, I think, really, really fun teams to watch this season, which I think this tournament, and that's like a lot of it. I don't think that these are going to be a ton of blowouts either. I think that there's going to be some really, really great games that take place. But I love a Stanford, Texas Elite Eight game. I think that's going to be a ton of fun.
I do too. And like, that is to say that these games, once they get to that point, like I'm thinking that the Sweet 16 games are all going to be competitive. I'm thinking the Elite Eight games are going to be a dogfight. And then obviously the Final Fours are always usually competitive. And that's all you really want. Like, you're obviously going to have some blowouts in the first round, even some blowouts in the second, just based on how these brackets are constructed. But there are a lot of opportunities for there to be competitive games in the first and second rounds. And then after that, it's just like, you got to bring it every single time you get on that court. So I think this is shaping up to be a really, really fun tournament this year.
Same. Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm just so excited that we've got the co-branding and the, March Madness and the Final Four. And like, I just think that there's a lot of deserved attention. There's a lot of like superstars in this year's and a lot of seasons, but that, you know, you're seeing big name NBA players tweet about Caitlin Clark, and you know, you've seen the support that, you know, players like Kevin Durant and stuff have given not just the WNBA but the women's game in college. And I just think it's really, really awesome to see, because there are some incredibly talented players that deserve all the recognition and the coverage. So I'm excited about it.
And I mean, I hate to be that person, but it starts with big names like Kevin Durant and like Chris Paul showing their support for the WNBA and showing their support for college basketball to get kind of the regular folk to notice.
100%.
Because us basketball lovers are going to watch it regardless, but you really want to make sure that the name recognition is out there, and just them kind of coming up and supporting everything is obviously great. And it, unfortunately, I think it's coming off of just the disparity of attention that was so blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, I mean, it was always there, but I don't think it was pushed until last season.
Yep.
I think everyone knew what was going on, but no one cared until all the female athletes were like, literally, what the fuck is this?
Like, they're showing the gym equipment. I was just like, okay, cool. Like, unbelievable. And it's just this could be marketed for so much more money than they are. Like, they're leaving money on the table with some of these women's tournaments, and it doesn't make any sense that, you know, on its own entity it could be worth so much. And you know, so that's why the argument to me of like, well, if more people watch, then we'll get more coverage. And it's like, it's not getting watched because people don't know these things are exist and are great and are doing these things. It's the same people that thought that name, image, and likeness was going to end women's sports as we know it, where really women's, like, female athletes have been some of the biggest beneficiaries of some of these name, image, and likeness deals. Especially women's basketball is outperforming men's basketball. I'm a huge lacrosse fan. Charlotte North of Boston College, just across her Instagram today, she's now like a Pennzoil like sponsored athlete. Like, I'm like, yeah, good, get that money. Like,
and then women's gymnastics obviously is really benefiting from it, which is incredible. And I think people are hopping on the trend of college softball too, which is really, really pumped. So like, awesome. Said, I mean, NIL has really just elevated that opportunity for women out there. And I'm so, so happy that they're finally getting this attention and getting what they deserve. So it's been good to see. But thank you, Caroline, so much for coming on here, diving into these games. I can't wait to watch them. I know you can't wait to watch them. And I also know that you will probably be tweeting about all these things. So yes. Please let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter and also follow all of your great work.
Yeah. So at CW Darney, D-A-R-N-E-Y on Twitter. And yeah, if you like dog content, basketball content, overall sports content, some, you know, movie and TV content, that's the spot to go.
If someone doesn't like dog content, I don't want to know them. Like, it's okay.
No, I know. My dog's the real star of my Instagram, so it's fine. People are like, why don't you make her own Instagram? I was like, well, what would I put on mine?
You're like, this is where I get the most likes. Like,
yeah, why? She has her own Instagram. It's mine. So.
I just sometimes make appearances on my own Instagram. Like, that's exactly what it is. But exactly. I cannot wait to see all of your coverage and to get more pictures of your dog. I'm very excited. It's a quality follow.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much, Caroline. I had so much fun talking women's sports with you. And I hope that we can do this again sometime really soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Big thank you once again to Caroline for coming on the podcast, talking women's hoops, and for just bringing up the energy on this women's tournament. We always are so big about supporting the women here and for talking the talk while also walking the walk. So big shout out to Caroline for talking about the NCAA tournament on the women's side here on Midwest Madness. If you want all of your best basketball coverage, if you just want only basketball updates, Midwest Madness is the place to be. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MW_Madness Big 12 and myself at CB on Sports for all of your basketball needs. And we have so much more coverage coming for you guys for March Madness, so be sure to keep it locked in here. But until the next tournament updates, we'll catch you guys next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.